listening to the Hollywood Boulevard Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Thank you guys for checking out Hollywood Boulevard Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I've got my co-host, Joe Turk, here. How you doing, Joe?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
Doing good. And we got Alfred Crane on the phone. How you doing, Alfred?
Hello. Doing pretty well. Thanks.
Thanks. All right. I'm excited. We're here to talk about the film Goonies. Which, the Goonies, not just Goonies. What's that, Alfred?
I was singing the song.
The Goonies are all right.
Yeah.
Are you going to channel your Cyndi Lauper?
Goonies are good enough for me. I
remember the I part the most. So. First of all, I know I saw this back in like VHS we used to have it on Betamax, so I'd watch it like over and over again. But it's funny because it was my dad's first time watching it over like last year at the over around Christmas time. We watched it and he had never seen it before. And but he had thought he had seen it. And I think he was thinking of Gremlins, you know, which are also is also produced by Steven Spielberg. But it's a completely different movie. Goonies, Gremlins, you know. So I don't think he ever.
They did reference Gremlins in this as sort of an in joke. So it's like I mean I don't think it was just a jab. So I mean I don't think it was really a. It's not obviously the same universe or anything, but they did mention it the one time.
Well, I think it can't be the same universe because Corey Feldman's in both universes.
Or, you know? Unless it's his doppelganger.
I don't know. Maybe it's doing an Echo Lake Universe type of thing there. I don't know. It's weird.
At the time you called in about those things that turned the lizard,
exactly.
The cop was like,
"Yep." Well, so yeah, so they referenced Gremlins as if Gremlins were a real thing. So maybe it is set supposed to be. I wonder if there's any other Spielberg movies that have like references to another one like that. You know, kid one. So like maybe Hook. You know, as a reference to one of those things, and then they could all be in the same universe, you know.
The Spielverse.
The Spielbergverse. Or Poltergeist could count in that. You know, it was produced and involves children. We always go around and talk about when we first saw this. So I said I saw when it was on VHS or Beta and stuff. What about you, Joe?
VHS as well. During my Blockbuster days, but actually before I started at Blockbuster, so I think it was from one of the other places before then. But yeah, I didn't see it in the theaters. I remember when it came out in the theaters, but I didn't get to see it in the theaters. I didn't get to see it in the theaters then, but actually I saw it in the theaters about two years ago.
That's another one I want to see in the theaters.
Yeah, when AMC reopened the theaters, stuff like that, they had a bunch of old ones, stuff like that. So the first day they opened back up, I got to see Back to the Future in the afternoon and the Goonies at night.
In one day?
In one day, I saw those two.
That's a Steven Spielberg produced freaking double feature right there. That's awesome.
Yeah, and they only charged like 10 cents a ticket or something like that because it was the first day they were opened back up. So I was like, I was like, jackpot.
I remember that sort of thing where they did that at Carmike Cinema, which was like in Williamsburg. That was like our only other. We only had two theaters at that time, and they did like a 10 cent, 20 cent, whatever. I think you could even if you brought in like cans or something, you could. You know, you could watch them like your cans of food. If you donated cans of food, you could watch these movies. And they're like the Flintstones. And I remember like the Lion King being in that, you know, thing. So it's fun to see the Lion King.
Is that Carmike near the plant where Plan 9 was?
Yes.
At the end of that little mall.
Yep. Okay, now it's a, it was. Don't think it is anymore, but they converted that into a church. And my friend's dad actually was the pastor at that church. And then, and I think now I don't know what it is, but they should bring it back to being a theater because it was so cool. Like it looked like I don't know what it really like. It looked crazy. And you would go in and there'd be the concession stands, and you go downstairs. That's where all the theater, rooms would be. But they only had, it was Carmike's number four, so they only have four screens showing at once. So it was the smaller
Yeah,
theater. But I liked
I
going
thought
there, and I liked
Airheads
going to
there.
Williamsburg Crossing, which had like eight movies, I think. Maybe or so, maybe more.
Saw
So
Airheads at the Carmike.
nice. Nice.
Yeah,
That's a movie I would love to see on the
yeah,
just with...
it was fun. It was Airheads was funny because it brought that came up the other night when I was watching the SAG Awards, and they had a two-thirds reunion, real quick when Brendan Fraser won for Best Actor SAG for The Whale, Sandler jumped up and was giving him a big hug right there. I'm like they're in an award show, and it's like they're a Airheads reunion. I was like, the one that usually would get the awards would be Buscemi, you would think, but
Yeah,
I
where
guess
was Buscemi?
he's the only one.
She'd been
He's the only
hugging
one
him
that would have made.
too.
Yeah, he would have, but it was kind of comical to hear to see them two, and they both were up for awards too. So it was like that they're acting and stuff
Wait,
like that. So,
what was Sandler up for?
Hustle, the basketball movie.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I
He's like
forgot
an
that was
agent at
last
the moment.
year.
Yeah,
Okay.
so they were at tables there for the SAG Awards. So it was just kind of comical. I was like, when they gave a big hug, I was like, wait a second, I know them from Airheads.
Yeah, that's funny. I was supposed to
So,
do that for Hollywood Knockbusters with a guest, and every time we tried to do it, it just didn't work out. And I don't know if I'm going to move on from that specific guest or, and just say, well, I might ask them if it's okay to give it to someone else or something, or if they want to figure out a way to watch it again. But anyway, so Alfred, what was your first time watching Goonies?
I actually saw it in the theater when it came out.
So you saw it in the theater, and
Yeah.
was that in Hampton or?
I think it was in, I have a feeling it was in the Beachmont area up near where I live. I think it went to
Oh.
there to see, it was either there at the drive-in where the Super Walmart is. I saw they had two theaters in there, so first
You
up in
might have
one of
saw it at a
those.
drive-in. That would be cool.
That we didn't, I think we went to the drive once or twice because it was just like we had experienced it a lot when I guess, but we'd go to the theaters in there, and I think that's where we saw it. But I don't know, it was like three or four of us went. Yeah, I have a friend, Brian Gerwin, who reminded me of Chunk, so we were joking around with him on that. But it
Nice.
was
I
a
remember
great movie.
that drive-in. Yeah, that drive-in was really cool.
Yeah, I didn't go to a drive-in until 2020 when everything else was shut down, and like that was like one of the only things open for theaters and stuff. And my former roommate and I and her friend went to see it together, and it was kind of cool. Like, it was neat.
When you're in
Well, yeah, people
California,
California. Yeah, I was in California. So yeah, I think the
it's
closest one that regularly runs here now is outside of Richmond. Amber and I, we go up there every once. We go when COVID and all that stuff hit. They were still open. We went there probably three or four times that summer with COVID and all that stuff. And seeing all the old movies, Jaws, Empire Strikes Back, Grease, Raiders. I think we saw that there, stuff like that.
nice.
So, yeah.
When they
But
had
yeah.
the throwbacks at the beer tab, the movie tavern in Williamsburg, before COVID, they had them like every month. They had like three or four movies a week, three or four movies a month. And they said they had a whole bunch of them. They would do special episodes of like Star Trek: The Next Generation or Remastered This or, and we've seen so many that it was just wonderful. Now, but when they even played on Blazing Saddles there, and they
Nice.
played I saw the Goonies there when they brought it back, and it just got Big Trouble in China, whole bunch
Good.
of them. I was like, wow, that was great to see them.
Yeah, I'll have to see if they're doing that again soon. I went to Movie Tavern for the first time to watch Ant-Man, a Wasp. It's been a while since I've been there because I was a Regal guy since I have the pass, and now I don't have a pass, so I'm like, I'm only going to
Free
one
agent.
movie a month anyway. I mean, $13, as long as I don't spend any money for Coke or anything, I'm good.
I pay my 20 some for, and you know me with the
Yeah.
past,
I mean, but
but
you go to
I'm
more
seeing.
movies than I do now. I haven't been motivated to go because it's just, to me, it's more of a hassle. But anyway, we're not here to talk about the movies that we go to or whatever. We got lost in that from Beautiful Thing, so, Goonies.
So we have a great segue to get us back on track.
There you go. Go ahead.
P.K. Kwan, who played Booty Traps in this, is nominated for a role in this Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Mm-hmm. And he won at the SAGs the other day.
Yeah, that's where my jump was, from the SAG to the Academy Awards.
There you go.
That's awesome.
He won for it? That's awesome.
Yeah, he won the SAG Award, and they said that he was the first. When he came on stage, he said, I knew there was added, he didn't say pressure, but it added emphasis because no Asian had ever won for that particular, like, supporting actor. And then he won. And then Michelle Yeoh won, and then the movie won for best cast overall.
Didn't Jamie Lee Curtis? Did she win anything?
And Jamie Lee won.
Jesus Christ! So.
Yeah, so
they're gonna kill it on the Oscars, dude. It's gonna be a big thing. I don't know if they're gonna. I don't think they'll win though.
I don't think it's going to. But yeah, Data, seeing him come back doing movies now is pretty cool.
Data.
Yeah, the guy, the Jonathan K. Kwan, who
played. K. Kwan. Oh, yeah.
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 I was thinking Star Trek for a minute.
Oh. I'm just going to wait a minute. Brent Spiner?
Yes. Yeah, I was like, what is he doing? Yeah. I don't remember the Goonies movie. No,
Goonies had Brent Spiner in it?
I was getting it back to the Goonies.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk right now about the beautiful thing of, like, so we talked about how we saw it or whatever and where and whatnot. But the thing is, as a kid, this movie was the movie I watched with my friends over and over and over again. You know, this is something. And the beautiful thing was, when I first watched this was a movie that I could watch anytime. I was sick, I was sad, I was feeling in the dumps or lonely or whatever. I just put on Goonies as a kid, and it just took me away. And I don't know what it is about this movie, but I think it really has to do, and it's going to sound weird, but any movie that Steven Spielberg produced or whatever that had bikes in them, I don't know. For some reason, I was always drawn to those. So, you know, there's this, there's E.T., there's, I think Back to the Future had some bikes and stuff too. But anything, they weren't they weren't kids or anything, but, like, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, I love those movies because they made me think, like, no matter what, they made me think of my childhood, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that really was a big thing, and I don't think a lot of people realize, like, how big just something that simple as putting bikes in your movies can really take people back. Like, I think Super 8 did that, and that brought me back to my childhood. You know,
Stranger Things as well.
Stranger Things, and it just makes you feel really good because, well, nowadays you barely see kids out on bikes. You know, they don't know riding a bike outside is anymore. It doesn't feel like they know cell phones and
the kid had a Mario Kart though.
Or yeah, Mario Kart. Well, I don't know. Do kids play Mario Kart or just adults? You know,
I probably just dated myself twice.
Yeah.
Well, he's really out of touch.
I don't know that, that new Mario Brothers movie is getting a lot of attention. It's coming out for kids and stuff like that. So I think it still transcends time, and that's just one of the historic games. But yeah, I mean, childhood memories, whether it's Mario Kart or like in the Goonies and stuff like that, it just it takes away like a lot of the technology and a lot of the it goes into like the adventure and stuff like that, and the wonderment of being the preteen teenager and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was really a launching point for a lot of careers too. I mean, for the guy from No Country for Old Men, Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin. I mean, he went far. He's like all over the place.
Thanos, man, and
the villain of the Marvel universe.
Thanos, right.
But not only Thanos, he was also in Deadpool as
Cable.
Cable. So he was like, look at that dude. Like, he went on, and you know what I remember him from was Thrashing. That was the movie I used to watch as a kid over and over again, because I was thinking about it today while I was walking my dogs, actually, weirdly enough. But I was like, you know what? Like, skateboard movies, also, maybe it's things with wheels, except for cars. Cars don't do anything for me, but like, skateboards, and I guess kid stuff with wheels, you know.
Cars are a dad's thing.
Yeah, yeah, those are like older people things, and so it's a childhood.
The non-electric wheels, the
right?
Devices yeah. with wheels, yeah.
But yeah, but
some
like
pretty dead cars in there though, with a clothes hanger and a dead car. You get the motorcycle sound.
But yeah, so what is it? You know, there's all these crazy things, but like skateboards. Always did something for me, you know, all that stuff. So
the gadgets that the KH1 carried were those. I love those things. They were practical. Well, I mean, they were so practical, but they were all, it was all like visual. I mean, there was nothing like special effects wise. I mean, the stuff he did himself. And I love how this movie starts. You're just like, okay, the Goonies are riding their bikes. Everything's going to go bankrupt. The town's going to go under. And then all of a sudden, you know, they've got Corey Feldman interpreting for the maid, and then causing all sorts of trouble there. And then
I never got that as a kid. I never got any of those jokes and all that stuff as a kid. But man, especially having it in the subtitles, reading everything, yes. I go, oh, shit. He was like, what he was saying is fucked up.
Is it the cocaine, the heroin, or do you go separate in here?
Maybe I watched a lot of it on like television. They probably cut a lot of that stuff out or changed what they said.
The maid's priceless. Poor lady, she was like terrified.
She was terrified of the family that she was going to. By the way, I got this on 4K and it looks beautiful on 4K, guys. It's just
love the coffee mug too.
What?
Love the coffee mug.
Oh yeah, which kind of has the Goonies sort of. Logo
idea,
on it.
Yeah, the cross,
yeah, version. Without it, but it's not Goonies, it's Jason. So Jason Voorhees, Goonies. Jason Voorhees never says die.
Well, that's true too.
And then we got the Fratellis. We had the two klutziest guys were actually prolific villain. Well, Joe Pantoliano, not so much, but Robert Davi, who played a lot of bad guys. They were perfect together. And then the old lady catered for her pay during that time period. I can't remember her name, but she was in a lot of movies then.
Yeah, she was Mama. Throw Mama in the train.
Yeah. No, I loved her. Anne Ramsey. That was her name.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And I loved her to death, man. In this movie and Throw Mama from the Train, those two, like, you don't have to do anything else in your library. Those two films are like iconic for her, you know. They're so good, and she was such a wonderful like character actor. And they had Joe Pantoliano as one of the Joe Pants as one of the
Joey Pants.
Yeah.
Joey Pants as one of the as one of the leads, and I forgot who the other guy was. It was somebody else.
Robert Davi.
Yeah, Robert Davi. So it was like all three of them together as the crooks, you know, and everything. Just was fantastic, you know. They really. Did you guys ever play the Nintendo game Goonies 2?
I did not.
Did you ever play it, Joe?
I don't remember that one.
Okay, so you're Mikey. You get to play Mikey, and you're walking around with a yo-yo hitting people. Huh. The yo-yo. That's it. Like, anybody walking by, pew, you throw a yo-yo at them and stuff. And it was the weirdest game. But I remember I played that game all the time. Like, I loved it. You had to find a key. You had to unlock things. It was very Zelda-like, you know. I think that's another reason why I liked it. These Nintendo games based off of movies are so weird. Like, was it Karate Kid? All you do is, like, just kick people like most of the time until you actually have to do the, you know, the hard tricks and skills or whatever. I don't know. just.
Well, that's what they in the '80s and nineties. I mean, it was like there was games on everything, and it's just it seemed like it was a big movie. They were going to put a game out for it, so
which is weird. They don't do that as much anymore, unless it's like Marvel or whatnot. But they don't merchandise these video games as much as they used to. And I think it's because it like takes a lot more for them. Like it costs a lot more money for them to make these things than it probably used to cost. Used to cost, you know, 8-bit. Or whatever, you know, it was pretty cheap, you know, so you could just create these little things. I mean, they've actually got ways to make 8-bit games on your computer. So, you know, Alfred, if you ever want to make one,
you can make up something throwing a yo-yo around or something.
I liked that. I'm telling you, man, I'm going to hook up my computer, my Nintendo backup someday and replay Goonies 2, which was weird because it was pretty much Goonies 1. It was the like, same thing, you know? So I don't know why they call it Goonies 2. And it wasn't a, you know, but it would have been more fun if they let you play more than like Mikey, you know? You had to play Brand or Mouth or Chunk, you know? Speaking of Chunk, you know, the guy up there, right there doing the truffle shuffle.
First mention of truffle shuffle.
I know. He was Jeff Cohen. Well, he is Jeff Cohen. It's Jeff Cohen. And he's a lawyer now, entertainment lawyer.
Wow.
And he does not look like Chunk. He lost a lot of weight growing up. It's kind of like how Jerry O'Connell in Stand By Me was really big back then and kind of made fun of them. He became Jerry O'Connell, the actor that everybody knows now, and Jerry Maguire and everything else, you know. I love them both. I think they both should be in a movie together sometime, you know. Chunk and whatever Jerry's name was in Stand By Me. And Corey Feldman has to be in. What?
Well, Connell's still acting, so I mean that would fit. Feldman, I'm sure he can be brought in. I mean,
Feldman will do anything if somebody pays them.
Yeah, so I mean, that wouldn't be an issue. It's just if Cohen would do it and then getting the right.
No, Cohen may not
together.
Because he has got a regular job and he hasn't really acted in forever. Jonathan,
well, I heard Feldman's really pushing for a second Goonies possibly. So,
but what are they gonna do? Like,
I mean, there'll be adults. I mean, yeah, it's
adults looking for another pirate, like treasure.
Maybe it's like the way they go, especially adults with their kids or think of the legacy or something.
Maybe that would be cool, though. I would like that. Like, their kids, all their kids are now adults, and they are not adults, but kids. Their kids are kids running around, and but the problem is they wouldn't be riding on bikes, and they wouldn't be. It's just playing with their phones. Like, this generation doesn't get. Maybe that would be the plot. They have to get them out, and then they are like, "What are we doing?" So they get lost because they've never gone outside before. I would see that. I would see a bunch of kids getting lost and having to figure out a way, and then they find another pirate ship.
Well, the majority of the cast is still acting, so I mean, of the kids, so I mean, they're all, they would all be available if they, in their own situations, if they do want to do it and stuff like that. So, but
Carrie Green, I don't know if she is or not. I haven't really seen much of her lately. Who's the other one? Was it Martha Plimpton?
Martha Plimpton.
Yeah,
she was on a TV show a few years ago. She's
still around.
She's still around.
Yeah, I saw her on it. Yeah, so it's
Josh Brolin would be a hard get these days. You'd have to pay him pretty good amount of money, unless it's like a one day little cameo, or he just comes and picks on. And Sean Astin, I mean, look at that dude. He kind of blew up when he became freaking Bilbo.
Lord
Not
of
Bilbo.
The Rings.
What was it? What was this?
Frodo.
Sam. Yeah.
Yeah, it became Sam. I don't know why I spaced out on that. I was like, but he's still doing independent films and stuff. So I think he would be a good get. I think he would be okay with it, you know?
Well, the bulk of it probably, if they did something in the vein of like a Ghostbusters type of thing, they wouldn't be shooting the bulk of the stuff. They would probably take it like a legacy of their kids and stuff like that. So, I mean, it wouldn't be that time consuming for them unless they really decide to go full tilt with the adult characters, which I'm not sure if that would really fit, but.
Yeah. Well, think of like, okay, so think of how many movies Corey Feldman has been in that are iconic films. You know, so he was in Goonies, he was in Gremlins, the first one, I believe. He was in The Burbs. You know, he was in
Friday 13th,
Friday the 13th Part 4. In
part four, and a
Lost
cameo
Boys,
at the beginning of
part of
five.
five, and then he was also in
Lost
Lost
Boys.
Boys. Yeah, so that's been so many iconic films as a kid, you know, like,
Well, then the other Corey films. I mean, you got Dream a Little Dream also.
yeah, but like a lot of those are like kind of made fun of in a way. Like I'm talking about like iconic, like
Get out of
Gremlins
my
iconic.
dreams. Get
Yeah.
into my car.
Alfred's going Aretha Franklin on us.
I'm also thinking of a License to Drive, which was also another Corey
What I
Corley.
was thinking of. I see License to Drive.
Yeah, that was a
The
great
Corey
movie.
films. Billy Ocean sang that, I think.
Was that the theme?
Yeah, Billy, yeah, get out of my dreams, get out of my car.
There you
Yeah.
go.
I don't need a Lamborghini. I already got a Mercedes.
But yeah, it's crazy that like all those guys have had sort of a career, you know, and everything, like an insane career, you know, going for it. So I love every single actor in this show, like in this movie, and all of them have gone on to do amazing things. So good for them, you know.
Recently I watched the Siskel and Ebert do the review of the Goonies, so I was like, oh, it'd be interesting to see what they thought of this and stuff, and they liked it after the first about half hour, and I was kind of disappointed with their reviews. They both liked it in total, but they gave it sort of a marginal thumbs up, and they said the problem was the first half hour they were talking basically over each other, and they couldn't quite understand everything that they were saying and what was going on. And sort of, and I completely disagree with that. I mean, to me, I love that first half hour is just insane. I love it.
Maybe they're listening
Before
to
they
the
go on to
commentary track, because that's literally, I told you about that earlier. That was literally what happened on the commentary tracks. Everybody's talking at once. And nobody's like kind of letting people, you know, whatever. And I'm just like, ah, like it was making my ADHD go nuts, you know? Like, I'm just like, because I can't focus on one person and stuff. And it was the first time I'd ever seen a commentary track with a closed captioning. And even then, it was like closed captioning, like it was, you know, going quickly because everybody was talking and everything. It was so annoying. So anyway, but yeah, that I
but
didn't
that
get
that
that from the movie itself.
yeah, and they said that once they got on the actual journey and all, once they got on the bicycles and were on their way and stuff like that, it really picked up, and they enjoyed the film in total, but then they had a little bit of a pause to the beginning, and I was like, I completely love the beginning because that's setting up. I mean, the kids talking to each other and the teenage boys and stuff like that, just, I mean, mouth is in. Corey Feldman, I thought it's hysterical. I mean, the way he's just so acting all macho and stuff like that with the interpretations and stuff like that, and the way he gets Chunk to do this truffle shuffle to get in place and stuff like that. It's just the back and forth with all of them. I really dug that, and it set up the story too very nicely.
Good. I like that. Yeah. As a I think the first half hour is some of the best, you know? Like, I mean, and then later it sets everything up, so everything gets knocked out of the park. But yeah, I would disagree with them saying that. I don't know. They liked it overall.
Overall, yeah, they said Siskel basically said I give it a marginal thumbs up, and Ebert was like he's like I give it a thumbs up. He says, but there was some reservations, and they both sort of says like if there's going to be a movie you could show up late to, you could show up 30 minutes in and you wouldn't have missed anything. And I was like, what? I was like,
All of that
no.
is character development. You're meeting all the
Yeah,
characters, getting to know
exactly.
what each person is doing. You know what? This is the problem with these critics, and that's even including me sometimes, too, is that you'll watch it once and then you'll review it, right? And then you don't really realize like how beneficial it is, to see it more than once, because then you can look back and go, okay, I thought of this, but it's sort of different now that I've looked at it. You know what I mean? So I would disagree with them, though. I think
But they came around a
people
little
like
bit,
to argue to argue.
and they made reference to they said that underground it seemed a lot like Indiana Jones, which I agree with that. There was some very familiar action stuff with Indiana Jones stuff going on there, but I mean mid-80s, this it was mid-80s I think when this was made, so yeah, it was, I was good with it. But yeah, hearing the reviews and stuff like that, and it's like each person has the right to their own takes and stuff like that. So, but it's interesting sometimes hearing old reviews on movies. It's like now classics, and sometimes people rip them and stuff like that from back then. But yeah, I was like, kind of curious on what they would think about stuff.
I
So.
wonder if kids today could watch this and sit down and like watch it. If this would be interesting. I want to see if Sam, our friend Samantha Marie, has had her kids watch Goonies, because I wonder if they'd be interested in it, because it is sort of a different kind of movie. It's an adventure story for kids, and really not many. There were not many adventure stories for kids, or whatever,
What saying that was Sam's take would be pretty interesting, but I have sort of an example of that with when I watched it, because when I put it on, my wife she sort of looked Amber looked at it and was like, I don't remember, and then she sat there and started watching it with me, and she's like, I don't remember liking this as a kid like I do now. She's like, she was really digging it and all, and I was like, nice. I mean, because most of the main characters are I mean, the boys, they're all teenage boys and stuff like that. So it's like, but I mean, there's a couple girls there, but it's, I was like, oh, cool, you're digging this. This is nice. And she says, oh, I remember enjoying it like this back then, and stuff like that. So sometimes just different stages of life people see it. But yeah, maybe Sam with her kids. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what they think of it. I think they would love it, but.
I think like kids would enjoy this movie. Like I think this would be something kids could like sit down and watch, but it's just would that, like because kids today are different than kids, back in the 80s, and everything. The same thing is I would wonder what high school kids today would think of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which we did earlier. You know what I mean? Like can they connect with Fast Times? You know what I mean? We can because we kind of grew up at that time period, and everything. But could other people can, can other kids, can kids connect with that? Or would they just be like, this doesn't feel like anything I went through, which it probably doesn't, that's the thing. So who
But
knows?
I think the only way I can really say it is from my perspective is it's like watching movies as I've gotten older and watching some movies from back in time, classics from before I was born and stuff like that. I see them in a different light as the older I get. So it's like sometimes it just varies by person. I mean, I've been really getting into like 50s, 60s films and stuff like that, and some early 70s even. And I mean,
I just
to
watched a
me, it's pretty.
1930s film that just knocked my socks off. It was called My Man Godfrey, and I was like, this was not what I was expecting. I was like, the jokes are funnier than things I'm hearing now. I'm like, this is just crazy.
Well,
Have you heard of it,
last night
Alfred?
I think I've actually seen it, but it's been a while, so I need to rewatch
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's on
I've seen it on the
Criterion,
queue.
so I think we're doing it for Paul, myself, and another person that we've got. It's going to be doing it for Criterion Watch in May.
Cool.
And actually, I watched one from the 30s last night, and it's the first time I had ever seen it. And It's a comedy. It's a classic by a lot of people's standards. It was a Marx Brothers film I watched last night.
Which one?
It was just Duck Soup.
Ah, me and my friend just watched that the other night.
Yeah, I was
we
rolling
did not
in that.
like it.
Oh, you didn't? Interesting.
No,
I
had some bits
rolling.
That were funny, some really bits that were funny, but when it got into the war stuff, we checked out. It was not. It got really unfunny and stuff and very political instead of comical to me and stuff.
I found humor in that, but I think this would be something, and this can relate to where we're talking about with the Goonies. It's like stuff that's going on in that time period, like the people that was living during that time period when the Marx Brothers, when they made this, it was a satire on politics and all going on then, so it just hit perfectly in those. So some people might not get that, just like the Goonies stuff, some people might not get that now because thinking then there's not the technology and all that stuff. So they'd be like, oh, there's the little gadget guy. But it's like, why can't, it's like everybody now is like instant gratification with their phones and everything like that. So it's like different people, when you see stuff in different lights, it's just different. And then,
No, I totally agree. What about you? What are your thoughts, Alfred?
Regarding what?
I guess regarding the feeling of, sort of the differences between kids nowadays that are watching movies to like them watching them from the 80s or even the 50s or 60s or on, you know, further.
I think Obi-Wan Kenobi said it best. It depends on your point of view. but no, the thing is, I thought 70s movies were boring when I was a kid, but then looking back there, I like them because they had a well thought out plot that took most of the movie to get across. Yep. It wasn't just like spoon feed you this and there's gonna be a car chase for 5 hours. Bullet was the exception to that, but they're heavier on plot than action.
Mm-hmm.
And well, going back and watching those old movies, it's just, and like I've gone way back. My mom, I saw this video. My mom got me watching the classics, and my dad got me watching sci-fi and westerns.
Nice.
So. Some of those crossed over.
Yes, you're getting well rounded.
Yeah.
So Alfred, you're becoming well rounded with some of the, and one, there's some of it's going this way, some of it's going that way back then. To bring, make you complete.
So yeah, well, it's interesting because Siskel and Ebert did sort of say in that Clerks, was it a review that films those at that particular time in the 90s were all the jobs that we all saw were hookers or cops or robbers or whatever, but we didn't see like blue collar people. But in the 70s, a lot of it was blue collar people,
right,
and things like that, and even earlier. And 80s, you know, it became okay. That became the thing. Nowadays, it's superheroes are the job, I guess, and stuff, you know, and whatnot. There are no stories of like the common man because, you know, they don't. I guess that's not where our society wants to be right now. We want to be watching extra supernatural, crazy, you know, stuff happening.
It's just, yeah, you have to go out and find them. But generally, Hollywood is, that's what Hollywood is now. It's the big extravagant type of stuff. I mean, you could, there's still some good smaller stuff, but you have to seek it out. One, and two, it's like either way, it's like it doesn't quite harness very rarely the magic of stuff like the Goonies and stuff like that, because it's like this is like, it just suspends disbelief. You just go along for the ride, and it's like, it's just.
For the bike ride.
And it's exactly. A Galaxy Quest. This is a one part. It's a perfect movie because it begins and it ends. You know, it's open up to three sequels and all this other stuff. It's a complete story, which I like.
Right. It didn't leave you saying, okay, there's gonna be there has to be a sequel to this, you know, or whatever. And so, but it did leave it open where there could be a sequel, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this movie, none of the kids die, you know, or whatever. Yeah. They all live. They thwart the, you know, the bad guys at the end. I mean, everything sort of works out for them, where in, you know, and if they did a sequel today, they'd probably kill off one of the characters, you know, because they'd be planning for another sequel, you know, and whatnot. Mm-hmm. That would be my thought.
And they also have
when I know his revenge.
One of the perceived villains in the Goonies, Sloth, was perceived to be a villain, but in reality, he wasn't. And he was really like, and that's in his character. I really liked, and I know that they had spent what 4 or 5 hours on makeup and stuff like that to get him the functioning with the eye movements and stuff. And I loved his character and the way that it played, and especially the interaction with him and Chunk. I mean, when Chunk thought he was done in for the baby Ruth and stuff like that, when that scene happened. But then it's like, it's just, they bonded, if you will. And then it's some of the lines where he's, "Hey, you guys," and stuff like that. And exactly.
Hey, Electric Company, or was it Zoom? Was that from Electric Company or Zoom?
What company?
"Hey, you guys." There's a show I grew up watching as a kid. It said, "Zoom is going to start." Hey, you guys.
Also, Sloth might have got it from them.
And that's what I'm thinking, is whatever Alfred's talking about. I don't know. I've never, I don't know that show. That. Maybe that's what they stole it from. I don't know.
Yeah. But we while we're talking about Sloth, an interesting thing here is the actor who played him, John Matuszak, was an NFL player. And he passed away a few years after this was made. And I know he had like drug issues and stuff like that, but he was in a number of movies. But anyways, when he was playing in the NFL, actually I got to see him play in the NFL. It was the first NFL game I went to like 40 years ago. And he was playing for the Raiders. And it was kind of funny because he was wearing a Raiders t-shirt before he took it off in the Superman thing, or not sorry, Superman logo and all that. But seeing him in the NFL and stuff like that. And then he was really big in movies in the early to mid 80s. Sad to say he passed away, but it was just getting to see that, thinking back when I always fond memories of that first NFL game. So my dad and I went there, and now seeing that he was there as well playing for him. But he did great with Sloth, I thought.
It was great.
Yeah. So I was trying to find the, if they're okay, hold on. I think there is. Okay, so at the end of Goonies, when Sloth says this classic, "Hey, you guys," that is a reference to a 70s to 80s educational show called 321 Contact, which starts off with that line on every show because he was locked in a basement watching TV all the time.
321 Contact is the reason. That's basically what
that's what he was doing. That's what that character was doing. He was locked up in the basement, basically.
Yeah. So, Alfred, you knew that line from that show?
Yeah. So I used to watch 321 Contact all the time.
Did you watch it before you watched Goonies?
Oh, yeah.
So you already knew when he said it, when he said that line, that that's where that was from.
It was just something that didn't surprise. It was just cool. Hey, that's cool. Yeah, I knew where it came. It's just, I think I triangulated it and then moved on, but it was kind of like something I grew up with.
That's cool. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a stolen line, you know, because everybody thinks of it as the Goonies line, you know. That would suck. Like, say you created "Smile, you son of a bitch," and it was the most famous line in Jaws for a while. But then somebody else comes along and makes a movie and then says, "Smile, you son of a bitch." And then all of a sudden everybody goes, "That's from that movie." And then everybody's like, "Wait, that was from Jaws." But like, you know, it's weird, like, you know, when people sort of steal lines from other shows or movies, nobody sometimes even realizes they're stolen lines. That's funny.
Well, the thing is, back then, people probably knew what that was, too. So it's like they probably knew of that show and knew that. So it was more, I don't say an homage to it or something like that. So it wasn't a unique line. And that's something that people, when you see movies from out of context of your time period, like we were talking about seeing the movies in the 30s or the 60s, like that. So we miss some of those little things unless we actually lived that time period.
Right.
You know what's funny, too? I was just thinking about this. We're talking about movies that, or remakes or the taking of one of the, this will blow your mind, but it's like people maybe not be able to make a connection, but in the Buck Rogers TV series with Gil Gerard in the late 70s, There's an episode where they had the original Flash Gordon played by Buster Crabbe in it too. But you know, people really? Right now could probably go as far as Gil Gerard and maybe not and think to make no sense of who Buster Crabbe is. Yeah, Buster, it was like with the Fighting 69th or something, but they had all these characters from the 30s serials and the one from the 40s and then the 70s. So it's kind of funny you go back to then. You don't go back so far unless you, you know, grew up in the time period or I think it's fascinating. It just kind of came to me. What else we're talking about here is like all these connections that lost connections, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. And that's a...
And something...
Go ahead, Joe.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. It's fine.
I'm just saying, like, that's... I mean, I'm watching all these films. You never know, unless you grew up at that certain time, what certain things are. So you're right, Joe, earlier when you were saying, like, something like Duck Soup, you might there might be references or things I didn't pick up because I didn't grow up around that time, nor does it connect to me. So... You know, me personally, I'm like, okay, these are some funny lines. Some of the jokes are probably some of the first time that anybody heard those kind of jokes. They get stolen. And then all of a sudden it becomes, you know, people are so used to, oh, man, they did that again. You know, that's been done a billion other times. But it started with that movie, maybe, you know, and stuff. So interesting stuff there. Yeah. What were you saying,
so,
Joe?
Well, I was just thinking of just other times when movies reference other stuff and you never know. It's like sometimes it's glorious extras. Like if it's like it might be like Aaron Brockovich, the real Aaron Brockovich showed up in the movie with Julia Roberts. And a lot of people didn't know that she was just a quick person in there. They do that in a lot of movies. So sometimes if you could see those sort of things, and then sometimes it's not like the reference that Alfred gave with Buck Rogers, stuff like that you might not notice. We did a film a few years ago for one of the other podcasts. You remember the one? It was the one with the dog that had like all the silent era actors that was in it and stuff like that.
Bon-ton-ton, so like, the dog that saved Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly. There was like was it 60 to 80 different people that showed up in there. Most of them I never even recognized and stuff like that. But the thing was is there was tongue in cheek references to other movies and they did that in the Goonies. They made that Gremlins reference and stuff like that. And this other thing. So it's like, it's all there. It's like, right. And that's what the magic of some of these movies are now. And thankfully we could still go back and relive and tie these things together and learn new things. Cause learning this about that, hey, you guys back up the line. I didn't know that. I don't
Neither
remember
did
that
I.
At that time period.
Would you guys want a sequel for this movie? Would you guys want this to get sequelized?
If they did it right.
What would you say is right, Alfred?
Not the W word, not politically correct, just be what people want to make it.
Okay.
And nowadays so, they have to, nowadays it has there's such we're in such a culture now to where you can't I don't think there's anything necessarily politically incorrect about this movie.
I don't think so either. And now that I'm thinking about it, which is weird because like that was sort of the politically incorrect time.
Like neutral. I mean, a lot of these movies just, they had a good solid story. They didn't bring any political bent into it. I go to movies to escape reality. I don't know a movie about reality unless I'm going to see some kind of artsy movie somewhere.
I know. I totally agree with you, Alfred. I try to escape it. I particularly am not a very big fan of politics myself, so I don't get into it. And I don't like it where movies these days kind of jam it down our throats for their political agendas or their political feelings and stuff. And I don't think Goonies would be good for that. You know, because there's really no political message they should be sending, except that we're at a time right now, and this is how I feel why a sequel should be good, is that we're at a time right now where Marvel and DC and all those things are the biggest blockbusters, you know, but there's not really that many family friendly things that you can show that aren't those things, you know. And those do okay. There was an article I read today that said that Chris Pratt was offered the role that Mark Wahlberg eventually took in Uncharted, you know, and how he was, you know, he turned that down. He turned, you know, turned working on that movie down, and how they were saying that, you know, he dodged a bullet because it didn't, you know, it didn't do very well. Well, who knows? It might have done better having Chris Pratt in it. He might have, you know, he might have came in and changed things up. But the point is that it still made $400 million on whatever budget it had. Like it did not fail. Like, it might have gotten bad reviews, but aside from that, it did really well, you know. So
I think if you're gonna make it, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I think a movie like that, Uncharted, whatever, something adventure family film like Goonies 2 would be perfect for today. But unfortunately, right now, a lot of the family pictures that are out are comic related. So what are you gonna say, Alfred?
I was gonna say, I don't want to see what they did with Picard to the Goonies universe, or like Star Wars, where everyone's down on their luck and they're all made bad choices, and they're, you know, I just don't see them when they're older. They're still doing the same old things. They're still the characters we love and saw, and then there's, you know, quirky stuff, and you know, just kind of like have a good solid story based around that, and it just has to be done well. You know, it's just not something that's thrown together quick to make a buck. You need a well thought out script, well thought out directors, and see who you can bring back, even if it's just for cameos. Because one of the best cameos I loved in Blade Runner 2049 was, that's another one I think they did right, with Edward James Olmos. They brought him in for a few minutes. And I just like, you know, some of you might be able to do that. But yeah, I just think something that's just, it's part nostalgia, part new. You want to do something to hook new people, but you want something to grab the whole fans.
If they did, the director I think would be perfect is Chris Columbus, who co-wrote the script, or whatever, wrote it. I'm not sure if he co-wrote or wrote it, but he had a big part in that. And Chris Columbus is like Harry Potter, Chris Columbus, he also directed like Home Alone. So he's really just great at these family friendly stuff. And so if they were to bring on Chris Columbus, they were to get him to get, you know, get a good writer to come in there, and then they would get the original Goonies back. You know, I think it could be a really well done movie. But the problem is, I mean, what the studio would have to do, I don't know what studio owns the rights to Goonies.
I think it's Warner Brothers.
Is it Warner Brothers? Wow. They could make a Goonies freaking TV show on HBO Max. Why not? Like, that would be cool.
Where you're going with a lot of that is, nowadays, it movies being successful or not at the box office, it's not necessarily a box office thing. Yeah, it'd be nice to see it on the big screen, obviously, but so much stuff now is made for various methods of place and various shows even. So to your point, talking about it being it could be a show, or it could be just a one-off movie. Yeah. And yeah, it doesn't have to be the Goonies had $19-20 million budget. So, I mean, back then, I mean, that was a lot of money.
Probably like $50 million today.
Yeah. So, they made its money, because it made $60 million in the U.S. and then in its run. And then,
a $100 million. So, I mean, it made its money, but really,
Now sales and the secondary markets and all, it's gone. It's really cleaned house.
So, Steven Spielberg, get off your butt and, you know, what are you doing, man? Making the Fablemans? Come on. You're making Oscar bait. Come on, let's go make some more fun stuff.
I think the Fablemans, didn't he say, like, next to Schindler's List is his most personal film? So it's like,
I get the personal with Schindler's List.
Fablemans it's not biographical, but it loosely is based on his upbringing. But yeah, I mean, whether it's Spielberg that does the Goonies or whoever, it's just, as long as it's the right people. That's the thing.
Just got to have the charm and the love. I mean, unfortunately, Richard Donner is no longer available. But, you know, if they do a TV, there's some great family television people that would be fantastic for this. And I swear it would be fun. It would be fun to see sort of And I like the idea of the the Goonies, the new Goonies, you know, like the Chunks kids and you know, all of their kids, and they're all sort of like versions of them, but up to date of like today. So like Data's kid could be working on stuff on a cell phone and controlling things, and you know what I mean? Like, I think it would be fun, and I bet all of those actors would have a fun time coming back if they're only in it for like a few episodes or something, and then or if it's for a movie only in it for a few minutes, but really it's they lets the kids go on wild and so they can create more, because Hollywood wants franchises. Like they sometimes they say they don't, but they really do. You know, they want their movies to expand and to have these worlds where, you know, more stuff's happening. So,
But it has to be done right. Otherwise, I'd be like, don't touch it, because I don't want to do it and then it turn out like garbage or something.
Yeah, you guys are right. Like, if it's gonna be crap, don't do it. But
yeah,
the thing is, they don't know if it's gonna be crap or if it's gonna be good. Somebody could pitch, you know, their idea of it. I mean, you know what? They thought Lady Ghostbusters was going to be a great movie. I mean, and Paul Feig, who wrote it, I mean, he probably had great intentions in mind originally. You know, like,
I had
I
a
don't
couple
think
good comedians. The girls weren't
yeah,
bad
the girls
either.
Are amazing. It just really was terrible, and it didn't do very well. And kind of, you know, now they got, you know, somebody who sort of knew the world a little bit better and was able to bring that back and get everybody hyped up about it. And now
you get the
it
director,
literally
you get the
had an
director's son.
Afterlife, you know.
You get the director's the original director's son involved,
who
a
was
pretty
there when
accomplished
it
director.
was being made as a kid. He was there on set, so you know,
exactly.
Sort of
I mean,
perfect.
I mean, we've talked about Ghostbusters and TV shows like Cobra Kai from the 80s, stuff like that. That's come back and done right. Top Gun, the new Top Gun movie. I mean, it hit the right balance, nostalgia and present day. I mean, it can be done right. Unfortunately, those are the more the exception than the norm. Some of these other ones they bring back in parts 2, 3, and 4 or 6 or whatever. Some of these are coming out now this year. I think there's a part 6 coming out of one of them in a couple of weeks. So it's like, there's Leonard part 6. I don't think they'll be making that one.
Leonard part 7.
I think Bill Cosby's a little no, I don't think they're going to touch him.
Well, they just want to get Bill Cosby back, but
The thing, well, it wasn't that great, but the thing is most of the stuff that they try to harken nostalgia, it usually fails for the most part. But it'd have to be really done right, and they have to really, it'd be more of a passion project than something that's going to be looking to make big dollars. And the right people, like if you get somebody who's like the biggest Goonies fan of all, that's like directing or something like that, that knows exactly the nuance differences, and they have the credibility to make it, and then the script
don't do this
be there.
This crap where people like they don't know nothing about the stuff. Like, well, we're bringing a fresh take on the Goonies. That's the last thing we need. I don't want a fresh take on it. I don't want a large fire. I want a liter of cola.
Yeah, it's true. Thank you for that Super Troopers reference. That's very true. That what is it? That even Marvel has said they don't want to have writers who are fans of Marvel to write Marvel. And I'm like, why wouldn't you? Like, you know, shouldn't that be who you're seeking out? Because, you know, giving them fresh takes on it is going to get the fans upset, because they need people who love it. It's the same thing as like the guy who wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory never watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and Tim Burton told him, don't watch it, you know, just make your own thing. And I guess that's different because it's an adaptation of the book, so it sort of works if you're adapting the book instead of copying the original movie, you know. But sometimes you kind of want a similar movie to, you know, to the book or to the the other movie, you know.
At least somebody who like cares about the the project, cares about the original project. I mean, somebody who's really going to not want to do these characters wrong. They're going to be true to those characters, true to the essence of that time period. Like you even talked about the bicycles and stuff like that. The magic of that is what really drives it. I mean, you could have anybody go on a group of friends go on a little treasure hunt and stuff like that, but it's like you have these people that you care about going on a treasure hunt and being pursued by these wacky villains.
I mean, yeah, I think that was, see, that's the thing that Cicely Eber don't understand is that 30 minutes of it, of you getting to know those characters and seeing sort of what they go through their days or whatever, and then you're stuck, you know, sort of in the underground with them for the next, you know, hour and 30 minutes or whatever. And you're like, now you're like, I want them to get out safely. I don't want them to get caught by the robbers, you know. I want them to start doing stuff to, like, you know, like Data pushing everybody off and doing all these crazy gadgets and stuff. I want that because that's sort of fun. So I agree. This movie was a lot of fun, and it's one of those movies I'm going to like to revisit every year because now that happened on, because I never had it on Blu-ray. I think I had it on DVD, but I never had it on Blu-ray. Now I have it on Blu-ray and 4K.
Well, I had the Blu-ray triple pack with that and Gremlins 1 and 2. It's a great Blu-ray triple feature. But yeah, 4K somewhere down the way, probably.
3G.
What about you, Alfred? Do you have a copy of it, or did you have to like rent it or something?
On DVD.
DVD? You had a DVD of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my 4K here, I mean, it had everything that's on the Blu-ray plus, you know, which honestly the special features aren't the greatest, but I mean, really, on that movie in itself is enough for me to, you know. So
and sometimes with these movies, it's like, yeah, the 4K and on regular viewing, the 4K Blu-ray would be the better to watch, but in a one or two off type of situation, sometimes it's good to watch it in the older style, because then you feel like you're taken back to that time.
Exactly.
Generally, yeah, the clearer the picture, the better.
Obviously. Yeah, and it does look clear as fuck. So I would definitely recommend the Goonies on 4K if you get a chance to if you have a 4K. And you get
does it have Cyndi Lauper's music video?
Yeah, I mean, it's got everything that's on the Blu-ray. So, I mean, Cyndi Lauper's video, the making of Goonies featurette, outtakes, and whatnot. So,
I mentioned that because there was about a 30 year period that Cyndi Lauper would not perform that song in concert, no matter how much people asked for it. She said she just didn't like it. It just wasn't a song she really cared for.
I mean, she wrote it because of because of the movie, you know, like
it was a payday. Yeah,
the movie. She wasn't planning, I don't think, on it being that big of a hit. She just, you know, made the song, and it's kind of like the Ghostbusters theme song, you know, like from what I heard, they made that in like a day, because they were like press for time, and they're trying to get a song, and there was nothing that rhymed with Ghostbusters, so they were just figuring out, let's just say who are we gonna call, Ghostbusters, and the rest of it was, you know, the actual like rhyming.
Well, the song for Goonies, it she got top 10 with it, so I mean it still sold. And I mean, it's, but I mean, that was another thing with the 80s films that are really good, and I know we revisit this from time to time, is that the movies then usually had a song. The summer movies and stuff like that, and this one had
except
that song.
Jaws had the music though, the score. So, you know, everybody knows.
Yeah, you just buy the score for that one,
right? You know, there's no like songs in that, but like Fast Times at Ridgemont High had an amazing soundtrack. You know, 80s had, you know, all the John Hughes movies had amazing soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just, that's just what the 80s were, you know, were. 70s were a lot of like grit and stuff, but like 80s had like soundtracks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right. Well, I think we are at that time to wrap it up. But
right.
next month we'll be with Alfred's movie, I guess, is next. So he has to figure out another 80s movie. It doesn't have to be a comedy. It doesn't have to be a drama, or it could be whatever, you know, whatever 80s movie you want to do. I'm guessing you don't have one picked out already, Alfred, do you?
Is this the one I'm doing? Or
yeah, the next one you're doing is next month.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So yeah,
52577.
No. That's not 80s, and we're not doing that for this one. We're doing that for another podcast.
Did I pick one?
I don't know. I don't think you have yet.
I'm going to get right on. It'll be a cool surprise.
All right. Sounds good to me. And then the next month after that will be Joe.
Yep, and I think I already have mine lined up. But
yeah, we're keeping with the 80s theme, Alfred. So you did Excalibur last time, which was awesome, but I think it's something 80s and fun, you know.
I can think there's a lot of 80s and fun out there that I grew up liking, so it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah. Well, think of the ones we already done. We already did, like, Predator, you know, and stuff.
No,
like
I think
that.
The comedy I'm going to go with, because there's a bunch of comedies that I really like. There's so many to pick from.
Well,
I
maybe
with Running Scared. You know what I might go with? The cop movie, Running Scared with them.
Oh, that's a good one.
I just saw that for the first time. I just saw that for the first time.
I've never seen it, actually. I've heard really good things, so it'd be fun for me to watch it and then review it with you guys. So
I was thinking that, or in that Spies Like Us, or Into the Night.
Nice. Well, you pick whichever one you want, dude, and we'll do it. And then the audience some ideas to think about for next month. And I know I already know what movie. I think I know what Joe picked, but I'm not going to say it on here because I think it's a surprise. I think you already told me what you're thinking of something. So
yeah.
But anyway, thank you guys so much for checking this out. Join us next month where it'll be Alfred's pick, and I think we'll have some good stuff this year. This season, we got 9 episodes that we're going to be doing. So get ready for that. So we'll be on episode 5, you know, very soon.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
Exactly. I knew that was coming.
There you go. Another 80s movie.
Yeah.
So there you go. Thank you guys for checking this out and hope you enjoyed it. Bye.
Glad you did, Jonathan. Had fun, Joe.
You're listening to the Hollywood Boulevard Podcast.